Little Verse by John Cacken, read by John Cacken, and this one is called The Pertlamurra Schooners.
From the Western Isles to Baltic, from Shetlands round the Lan, from Pentlands down to Wearside, our vessels often ran, around the Clyde and Mersey, or Bristol Channel way, our Pertlamurra schooners went trading in their day. We boasted some fine vessels, and they numbered quite a few, but their names are now forgotten, like many of their crew. 'Twas grand to see them sailing, yards square and running free, perhaps making for the harbour, their folks once more to see. Sometimes, between the Deadmans, they'd tie up tier on tier, their canvas settin' dryin' if the weather should be clear. You might see one discharging, another loading grain, while the clank of pole and windlass meant underway again. Arriving or departing, or lying snug in tiers, we miss them from the harbour and think of former years, when round the watch-house daily their skippers would parade, discussing freights and sailings or passages they'd made. The lore about the schooners we learned in early days. Old mates recall the passing of the Vixen and the Wave. We knew the Jilt and Emu of the Meter we'd heard tell. Then last of all, Enigma, a ship we all knew well. From Glasgow, fully laden, bound south with precious freight, the Jilt raced down the channel. The year 1908, a heavy gale of wind she met close by the Cornish lands. Milchrist had made his last trip along with all his hands. But our harbour now is empty, for the days of sail are gone. And should you meet the schooner man, perchance you may find one, he'll tell the story proudly, though his eyes be full of tears, of the Pertlamurra schooners and the glory of past years.
The Pertlamurra schooners, read by John Cacken. John, Madrill poem for us now, and we heard the Pertlamurra schooners last week, the first in the series. This one's called The Progress.
In the harbour, by the quay, the Progress lying. Once a lady fair she was of Channel Sea, but with neither yards or canvas now, she's dying. Such a bonny ship that once we loved to see. 'Twas a topsail schooner she, just one of 20, and in snowy canvas once she looked so fair. Of the sailor men she reared, and she reared plenty, very few are left who grieve to see her there. With a life of British coasting in all weathers, she was welcomed in the schooner ports of yore. When a tugboat she would meet and take his hawser, to be guided to a berth along the shore. Very few among her sisters could outpace her, whether running free or on a bowline hauled. But those old-time memories she'll carry with her when she to the breaker's hammer will be called. Now, if to her doom she'd gone, or storm dismissed her, if she'd failed her crew, or somehow had been staved, then her name we all should know by that disaster, and, like the men who loved her, know her grave. Now the wavelets at high tide rush through her planking, and the seagulls round her masthead swoop and call. But no more we'll hear those windlass pawls a-clanking, for the Progress, she is dying, last of all.
John Cacken.
Recollections, dowsing jibs and furling topsails, comes a vision of a maiden all forlorn. in the springtime and in summer, through the sounds of Mull and Jura, then all set and hell for leather to Cape Wrath. Through the Minch with every tatter, for few vessels could sail better, I'd be speeding to my Maggie of the north. On occasions wind would head her, compelling us to reef or tack her. There were times we'd get some heavy slouchings too. But when at our destination, oh, the sweet anticipation of meeting Bonnie Maggie, fond and true. Though we growled about the tucker and got margarine for butter, though we spent 10 hours at winching every day, all these things would be forgotten when ashore I would be trotten for to meet my Bonnie Maggie cross the quay. She would always come to meet me. Oh, how fondly she would greet me, though I tarried over long upon the jock. She would never scold or chide me, but would smile and walk beside me. How she loved me, Bonnie Maggie of the north. In those summer nights up yonder, arm in arm we two would wander, sometimes sit and gaze across the Pentland Firth. Then the shadows would grow deeper, and no evenings e'er passed quicker than those I spent with Maggie way up north. All too soon came time for leaving. Well, I knew she would be grieving, lest the morn would find our schooner heading forth. So in Granny's door we'd linger for our parting, fond and tender. Thus I left my Bonnie Maggie in the north. Then those weary months of trading, till again we would be laden, with our hatches battened down and heading north. Oft on deck my watch be keeping, dreaming dreams again of meeting with my darling Bonnie Maggie of the north. How those schooner days went speeding as we sailed along unheeding to those many different harbors back and forth. But when schooner days were failing, well, I took to foreign sailing, so I lost my Bonnie Maggie of the north.
You hear another of the Ambrose Madrill verses, which are being brought to us in a short series by John Cacken. And today, it's the mackerel fishing.
Arise, my lads, the spring is here. Cast off your moorings, get your gear. To Irish ports we soon shall go and fish for mackerel high and low. We'll bend the sail and lay the net, and from Nan Wade the herb we'll get. With straw our beds we'll have to fill. 200 boats will leave Peel Hill, Old Mona's shore to leave astern, and then in June they will return. Our painted boats look smart and fine. From bow and sail our numbers shine. The harness cask with beef we've filled, and half a grunter newly killed. A drop of the creature just for some who are middling fond of a glass of rum. Our Manx sea biscuits last we store, then in with our legs, the wind's offshore. Old Ellen Bannon we leave astern for 3 months fishing and then return. 200 boats from Old Peel Town, and from the south 50 around, with crews from Bradder to Renas, from Sulby up to Old Glenchass. Then to the service, take your pews. God speed our boats, God bless their crews. The wind blows north across the bay, then hoist the sails and let's away. Old Mona's Isle we'll leave astern. When June comes round, we shall return.
For John Cacken once again. Ambrose Madrill was a Manx poet. He was a sailor as well. He was born in 1889, died 1946, and he left behind quite a number of works, some of them well-known, others not well-known, and John is helping to make them so. And the poem we have for you today is called The Breeze, 1894. John Cacken.
Old men still speak of 94, that April day, that storm-swept shore. The Seatty Fleet were at sea that day. Their port was Crook, hard by Skull Bay. And evening brought a sky o'ercast with heavy seas and a falling glass off Mizzenhead, off Fastnet Rock. At close of day, the fleet lay shot. With darkness came the rising storm, and men, no doubt, felt some alarm. To save their nets was their chief aim, and struggled on till darkness came. On deck, their speech failed against the wind. Their small craft almost stood on end. Though hard they fought to save their gear, they saw their trains all disappear. The dawn found most boats underway, flying for shelter in the nearest bay. And all around the storm's dark pall that made them fear a bad landfall. If too far east or too far west, to God alone they could leave the rest. But as that April day wore on, they all made harbour, all but one. The Florence from Kilkeel, 'twould seem, too far to lee she hauled a beam. One heavy sea, and all was o'er. For men nor boat were seen no more. The Wizard passed an anxious day, with rudder smashed and washed away, but strove to keep before the blast, and Queenstown Harbour made at last. John Corran with the Egret's crew, both travellers to the masthead flew. Without the means of making sail, they ran bare pole before the gale. And sore beset was Amazon. One man and all her gear was gone. Yet, like a wounded bird, she tore through wind and sea to Baltimore. Of one more boat I have to tell. Her name, Expert, her skipper, Bell. Far off the land, close reefed, hove to, 2 days and nights withstood the blow. The years have rolled since 94. Those men and boats are seen no more. But places south and places west, old folk still say, those days were best.
John, general poem, and the latest in our series is called The Cork Packet. And here's John Cacken to read it for us.
She is out beyond the chickens. North she's heading, and they're driving her like hell, 'tis plain to see. She is plunging, and at times is nearly hidden, for the wind is blowing hard with heavy sea. She's no dirty coal boat trader. She's a lady, and from Hamburg knows all harbours down to Ghent. Round the Lizard and the Smalls, she has but rarely ever failed to dock on schedule time as yet. Now in war paint, she just looks like any other, for she's making for the convoy rendezvous. She has fought the sub and beat the Hun dive bomber, and is marked with battle scars from stern to bow. As I watched her from the flagstaff, all a smother, she seems loaded down below the plimsoll line, crammed full of war munitions like the others. Just a Cork boat of the Continental Line.
This one again we have from John Cacken, another from Ambrose Madrall's works. It's called The Cooks of the Nickies.
The cooks of the Nickies were the cooks of the past, but now getting few, the last living links with the fishing boat crew. We knew the old harbour with its many score sail, and mind well their leaving for Crook and Kinsale. 6 men and a boy, their crews all complete, well stocked with provisions, so trim and so neat, all moored at the quayside and ready to greet the first favouring wind that allowed of some sheet. We were but boys in a brown-sailed boat, the cooks of the Nickies that now seem remote. We still mind their numbers and tell them by name, new boats that were lucky, the fast ones, the lame. Tradition we learned from those old-timer crews. We drank superstition and knew all the moves. And, spellbound, we'd listen to tales of the past, recalling hard sailing or of losing a mast. We watched the fleet dwindle. We saw them decay. And now men and skippers have all passed away. We too are getting ancient, recalling old times, perhaps thinking of chums who sought other climes. The first thing they'll ask you when such you may meet is, how goes the fishing, or how goes the fleet? You'll tell them it's finished and dead as can be. Then they'll look at you sadly and murmur, dear me. You'll find them in Ossie and round Puget Sound, or maybe much nearer, in some English town. Old cooks of the Nickies are still to the fore, whilst others we knew we shall never see more. A couche on the fishing? Old times come anew. You'll coil down the springback and make the bagoo. You'll run past the Tusker and round all the capes, and laugh at the time you broke all the plates. We are the last that knew these old craft, a fleet that is now but a thing of the past. We watched their departure, we hailed their return. Sometimes there were seasons with little to earn, but we like to remember those old whiskered men who, cradle to fishing, carried on to the end. They'll soon be forgotten with their sayings in Manx, for the warehouse is empty and the harbours are blank.
And that was read for us by John Cacken. Written by Ambrose Madrill and read for us by John Cacken.
I will sing you a song of the fishing. The fishing I knew when a boy, when our harbour with boats it was teeming. That forest of masts was a joy. Straight from school to be cook in a Nicky, only 12 years of age and quite frail, to consail in the Annie they sent me, and the skipper was old Billy Quayle. All was first of the fleet to leave harbour, often last to turn back in a gale. But they said I'd be sure of a season, and good to a boy was old Quayle. Came the day we were ready for leaving, each boat with its crew and a cook, for the wind had blown fair since the dawning. If it held, we should soon be in Crook. What a hustle I mind on that morning. How I wish I could see it once more. Old Qualtro, I remember him calling in a voice you could hear on the shore. Come along then, the Annie. Stand by, bonny lass. Maggie Park, are you ready to sail? And then, cross the bay, we were soon on our way, on a course that led down to Kinsale. Strong winds and high seas off the Fastnet, yet seldom to shoot would we fail. How I hated that pitching and tossing, how I wished every night we'd not sail. Every midnight when shot, we'd start hauling. 4 hours at that long, tarry line, wet through to the shoulders and seasick, and struggling against sleep all the time. How I wished I was home on the Shallock. There were times I almost lost hope, but a voice from on top would soon rouse me with a yell, to hold on to that rope. Old Billy would come to the engine, a kindly broad smile on his face. That doing first rate at the coiling, I'll give the attack, have a sates. So the skipper would stay a while coiling, talking loudly to keep me from sleep, while the mackerel kept flipping and flopping as they piled in the fish room, knee deep. 5 o'clock on the deck, cleaning mackerel, then frying for 6 hungry men. And the weather perhaps plenty for trysails. What a rush to get in there'd be then. To the hulk with our fish on arrival, in the evening again on the grounds. How I wished every Monday was Friday, for the weekend meant no coiling down. We cooks went ashore every Sunday, through the lanes of that old Irish port, discussing our boats and their sailing. How often we quarrelled and fought. But those fine sunny Sabbaths soon ended. There came talk of our sailing for home. And I think we felt sorry when leaving, though we knew back again we should come.
John Cacken and the Mackerel Fishing. The poems of Ambrose Madrill, read for us by John Cacken. This one is called Home.
From Old Greenough to Cronkier Watch, where songbirds haunt the briar and bush, and gorse is high in bloom, where foxgloves make the hedges blush, and pommets take alarm and rush for cover midst the broom. The herbs of old round here are found, kimcrest and lushiclock abound, and many more beside. You look right down o'er bay and creek, where, on the rocks, that lighter streak denotes the ebbing tide. The ancients used to come this way, a lookout keeping by the day, in times of watch and ward, to warn the isle by beacon fire, when foemen came with foul desire or seeking treasure hoard. We, too, as youngsters came this way to see the fishers cross the bay, from Shetlands or Kinsale. We watched them pass the Chicken's Rock, their canvas strain in every block, when strongly blew the gale. Old Ireland sometimes seems so near, the sea appears a lake so clear, once Manxman's fishing floor, the haunt of heron and of hake, but now, alas, there's few to take, the fishing days are o'er. From Ireland's eye to Galloway's mull, a vista that is never dull. From Cronkier Watch you'll see the black comb over Douglas Town, the coast of Wales, too, easy found amidst a summer sea. When winter gales they are severe and angry seas surround us here, a scene of majesty, and oft a wreck upon the calf, a gallant ship perhaps broke in half, from Cronk your watch you'd see. On either side a druid's lair, what tales are likely hidden there across their stony page? No doubt the beast of old Kyundu would oft be given life anew in that dark pagan age. From Cronknarry to Glenchess, no place in Mona can surpass that rare, enchanting view. The tang that's in the scented air, and oh, the hours I've spent round there. But now I've said adieu.
John Cacken, poems of Ambrose Madrill, read by John Cacken. Well, John reads the final two today, and they're two quite short poems. The first one is called Nigger.
He lies by yonder hawthorn tree, a good old dog called Nigger. No more his bark conveys to me strange footsteps coming hither. My slippers, one by one, he'd fetch and lay them on the mat, then wriggle lively with his tail, just asking for a pat. Though dying fast upon his feet, upstairs he'd make his way and lay his head upon my bed right up to his last day. I fear I'll miss his playful ways, our rumps and walks together, for now he lies in garden clay. Old pal, perhaps 'tis better
And finally, John Cacken reads a poem called The Lilac.
The lilac tree blooms at my door. Maybe I'll never see it more burst into flower. It takes the eye of passers-by and seems to radiate a joy and rich perfume. I planted it a tiny tree, and now it's taller far than me and full of bloom. This lovely flower goes all too soon, comes forth in May and fades in June, its season o'er. When lilac time again comes round, there's many will be underground that's well today. If humans to their fellows bring the joy that flowers do every spring, life would be fine.
And my thanks to John Cacken for reading those poems over the past few weeks for us.